Okay. Perikei Pasuk Yud Gimel. Perikei Pasuk Yud Gimel. So we are in the middle of this story. We are Belshazzar, he sees the handwriting on the wall, he's terrified, he calls all of his wise men to provide him with an interpretation and to ask them to read the script and to provide him with interpretation. None are able to do so. So the queen mother enters, either the wife of Nebuchadnezzar, which either was his grandmother or his mother. And I mean, we assume it's his grandmother. It could very well be that it was the queen. Well, maybe he had multiple wives. I don't know the yichus, but let's assume it was his mother, his grandmother. And she says, "Long live the king! I have a solution. There's a person whose name is Daniel. He lived in the tub of your father." She does call him, so it has to be his mother because she does call him your father. He lived in the time of your he was very instrumental in assisting the Nebuchadnezzar in interpreting his two dreams, the dream of the statue and the dream of the tree, and perhaps he will be able to help you, and go and have him brought. So that's exactly what Belshazzar did. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Beidayim then. At that moment in time, Daniel Hual Kadam Malka, Daniel was brought. Hual means he entered, he was Kadam before Malka, before the king. The king raised his voice and said to Daniel, "Ant who Daniel? Is it are you Daniel? Di min bnei galusa, who are a member of the exile, the group of Jews who have been exiled, di Yehud of the Jews." Which appears similar here is a derogatory term. He's saying you're from the Yehud. You're from the Jewish people who have been exiled. Di haisi malka, which my father has brought. Haisi means to bring. Malka, the king avi, my father, the king min Yehud, from the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. So is it true that you are the Daniel who has part of that group of people who have been exiled by my father and have been brought here to this land? Pasuk Yudalit, vishem es aloch. I heard about you. What aloch? What? Pasuk Yudalit. Vishem es aloch. I heard about you. Di ruach elokin boch. The spirit of Hashem is within you. You have ruach hakodesh. Vinahiru. You shine. There is a glow of light. Visoch le sonu. And there is wisdom. The chokma. Different forms of wisdom. Ma yatira. Yatira means an extra dosage of wisdom. Hishte chachasbach is found within you. Pasuk tezvav. Ucha'an, and now, hu alu kodomai. Now, let me give you some background to what is happening here. They have already entered before me. Hu alu has been, it has, they have been brought kodomai before me. Chakimaya, oshpaya, all of the wise men and the magicians. So that kisava deno yikron, so that they shall read the script on the wall, ufishrei lehodo usani, and so that they shall provide me with a satisfactory interpretation. But so far, v'lo chahalin pishar milsa lehachavaya, they are unable to provide me with a satisfactory interpretation. Lehachavaya means to express, chahalin means able. They are not able, yochol, to provide me, express a peshar, an interpretation also for this matter. Mefarshim point out that Nebuchadnezzar was Belshazzar was embarrassed to reveal to Daniel that his wise men were not even able to read the words. Here it says they're unable to provide me with an interpretation. Forget about the interpretation. They can't even read the words. He was ashamed that all of the king's wise men, all of the money and all of the chachma, all the PhDs, were unable to even be able to read the words on the wall. Pasuk tes zayin, v'ano shemes aloch, I heard about you. Di sikul, you are able. Pishrin lemifshar, you have the ability to provide interpretations. V'kitrin lemishrei, you have the ability to untie knots, things which are knotted, meaning secrets. You're able to solve problems. You're a problem solver. Ke'an, therefore, Hain if Ka'an literally means now. Ka'an now. Hain means if. Tikul, you will be able. You will be able kisava the script lemikre. If you will be able now to read the script ufishrei lehodo usani and to make known to me the interpretation, I will reward you greatly. Ar givona silbash, you will be rewarded with ar gamon, purple clothing. Ve ham nicha, a chain, anok, a special golden chain, di dehava alat savrach, you will be rewarded with this beautiful gold chain that will be wrapped around your neck, which will be a sign of a medal.
Like a gold medal.
A gold medal. And I guess also a sign of distinction. V'salta b'malchusat tishlat, you will rule over a third of my kingdom. This is the reward, and the reward is for you as well. This is the reward I offered my servants, and they were unable to provide me with a solution. But if you'll be able to provide me with a solution, I will give you the same reward. Pasuk Gitzayin. Beidayin then, Onei Daniel v'yama Daniel raised up his voice and he said, Kodam Malch before the king. King, guess what? Keep the presents for yourself. Mat nosoch loch lehevyon. Keep the gift, keep for yourself. Univiz biyosoch, and your reward. This word, univiz biyosoch, is another word which means reward, it means a gift. Not exactly sure. We had this before. It means. Look at you, the Mitzudos Tzion Pasuk Yedzayin, Inyan Doron Godol, Kama Matnon, we had before in Perek Beis, the Nivziv, the Univizva. It means a gift. Daniel is repeating himself. You can, the gift, keep for yourself.
Oh, it's like, maybe it's like Biza.
Spoils of war, booty. Okay, booty. It's the same sharish. Very good. The booties of war and the spoils of war and the gifts. Le'ocharon haf. Give it to someone else. So he's telling him, either keep it for yourself or give it to someone else. I'll read the Mitzudos. He says something a little bit interesting in a moment.
Is there some pertinence on his part?
Oh, so I'm going to explain. I'm going to explain that in one moment. I'm going to give you two different examples, two different reasons why he said this. So, half biram bat kisava ekre lemalka. I will read the script for the king. Ufishra ahod ine, and I will provide you with a interpretation. So, basically, what's revealed, he says outside, he's telling the king, I don't want your gifts. You want to offer me this great honor of wearing argamon, a gold medal, and ruling one third of your kingdom. I'm not interested, but I will still provide you with the interpretation, and I'll read for you what it says on the wall. Now, the Mitzudos, first of all, why did it? There are two expressions here in the pasuk: keep the gifts for yourself or give it to someone else. So the Mitzudos explains. Let me just say it outside first, and we'll read it inside. That the king lied to Daniel. He told Daniel that he didn't openly lie, but he said that my servants are unable to provide me with a solution. Seemingly, Belshazzar is telling Daniel that my servants are able to read the script. It's just that they don't know what it means. So Daniel says, if that's the case, so give them the reward. If it's really true that your servants are able to read it, that's such an incredible feat. It's kedai for you to give your servants the reward of the gold medal and ruling your third of your kingdom and the argaman just for reading the script.
Has he seen it at this point?
I do not know. It seemed, according to one interpretation, I'm going to tell you in a moment, it's yes, he did. He already saw it. He already knew what it meant. Let's do one thing at a time. But it doesn't say that in the pasuk. It's not clear that really is the case. Okay, but let's see over here what it says in the Mitzudos. Yudzayin, Beidayin. Beidayin then, Oz Heshem, reading from the Mitzudos, David. Yudzayin, Beidayin, then, Oz Heshem, Daniel of Yamal of Nehamelech, Mat Noscha Yehe La'atzmecha. The gift, keep for yourself. Umarbis habizbus, and this great booty, she'ata roitze levazbeis tein la'acher. What does he mean? So he says here a chiddush. Uchoimer af im titein lechachme b'nei amcha ba'avur hakriya levat. Because this goes back to what we mentioned before. Even if it's true, you're lying to me. You're telling me that your servants were able to read this. For that alone, levad lo yiskane bohem, I will not be jealous. Reward them for the reading it, for reading what it says. Give them the great bizbuz, the spoils, and give me nothing. I'll provide you with an interpretation for free. Now, why did Nebuchadnezzar, as Dr. Friedman asked, why did he respond in this way? Keep your gifts for your Baal Shetzar. Why did he respond to Baal Shetzar in this disrespectful way? So there are two answers. One answer is because Daniel immediately, they have to read between the lines, saw when he came into the palace, he saw the text, the script on the wall. He immediately knew what it meant, and it meant that the Malchus of Baal Shetzar will imminently come to an end. Therefore, your reward is worthless. You're paying me with currency that has absolutely no value. By tonight, Diva, by tonight, by the end of this day, the Malchus will be bankrupt. The currency will have zero value. There will be no honor in this kingdom.
Has a value no matter what.
Well, it could be not. It could be since it was imprinted. Okay, but whatever it means, it's the cover.
It is to offer.
Okay, but the Malchus, your Malchus is coming to an end, so anything that you have to offer is worthless. Like bonds of a country that's going bankrupt, it's worthless. So therefore, keep your gifts for yourself, because Daniel already at this point knew what the message was and what the... What?
He had to see it before.
Yes, according to this interpretation...
He had to see it before. He makes a statement, I'll read it, I'll interpret it.
Okay, aha. So you're saying the fact that he's able to see that he's able to interpret it, maybe he had faith. Okay, I understand what you're saying. So let's assume that he did see it. There's nothing for you to give me because your Malchus will come to an end in the very, very near future. So anything you have to offer me is worthless. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is, if we read between the lines, what? Yes, that's what it says. Well, in a few moments. We didn't get to that point yet. Over here, at this point, Uli says, I'll tell you the interpretation, keep the gift for yourself. And now he goes on to tell him the exact interpretation, which means that your Malchus will come to an end very, very soon. In fact, that night, that evening, was when his servant, one of the servants, came and chopped off, decapitated the head of Baal Shetzar. The servant took his head, went outside the palace and ran to the king of Modai, Daryovesh HaModai, not to be confused with Daryovesh the Parsi, and he showed, look what I got for you. I have the head of the king Baal Shetzar. And they said, how do you get the head? And this servant told him the whole story about the hand running on the wall, and Baal Shetzar was terrified. They called in all the wise men. They were unable to provide a satisfactory interpretation. They then called Daniel. He told them that the Malchus will come to an end, and the Medrash says that this servant was a servant that went back to the time of Nebuchadnezzar. This was like the royal butler, and who served under many administrations. There are certain people in the White House that have served, right? Certain secretaries that have served under many administrations. What?
Pope's butler had a whole problem. He stole secrets. The president, Pope's butler, he's going to jail.
The prayer, who?
The present pope.
The present pope's butler stole secrets from the previous pope.
He's going to go to jail.
Go to jail, okay. But this person served under Nebuchadnezzar. And he already knew Daniel. He like just like the queen mother advised Baal Shetzar, bring in the big guns, bring out Daniel. He will tell you what the script says and what it means. This servant also served under Nebuchadnezzar. He knew firsthand how he interpreted the two dreams, and he knew whatever Daniel says will come true. He had faith in Daniel, so he right away took matters into his own hand and decapitated Baal Shetzar. And he ran to Daryovish, the enemy, the looming threat for the Malchus above all was the nation of Modai. Daryovish was the king of the nation Modai, and Daryovish had a son-in-law. His name was Koresh, who was the king of Paras, Persia, and the two were together because this, the Shver and the Edim, they were together, and they together, after this person told them what happened, they immediately were able either to, there are different versions in the Medrash, they conquered, they immediately waged war, and they succeeded in overcoming and wiping out Bavel and taking over control, or according to another version, is that the people of Bavel immediately surrendered. They gave themselves over to the authority of Daryavesh HaModai, and the change of Malchus happened that night. Now let's go take a step back. Why did Daniel, so that's the first interpretation of why Daniel rejected the honor of Baal Shetzar. It's not worth anything because in a very short time your kingdom will come to an end. Nothing that you can give me has any value. The other interpretation, a much deeper interpretation, is I believe there are three interpretations. Let's go to number two. Is we read carefully between the lines, we'll notice that Daryavesh insulted Daniel. The queen mother spoke about Baal Shetzar. Keep on saying those two together for some reason. The queen mother, when she told her son or grandson Baal Shetzar to summon Daniel, she spoke about him with great respect. This person has Ruach HaKodesh, and your father appointed him to be the chief of all of the wise men and advisors. There's a beautiful description of how she referred to Daniel. But when Daniel was brought to Baal Shetzar, if we go look at these words, he used the word Diyuhud. Diyuhud, Jew, right?
You mean from Judea?
Possibly, but it appears from the way the commentators explain, it was a derogatory, he spoke down to him. He spoke, not like the mother. The mother never said, oh, from the Jews that were exiled. She didn't speak in those terms. If you look in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aled, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Bedai in Daniel hu al kodem alka, onei malka v'yomar li Daniel. And who Daniel? You're Daniel. Look at you. What kind of you? This Jew have a big nose. You're the Jew. Dimin b'nei galusa di Yehud. You're part of that group of people, those lowly people that were exiled from Eretz Yisrael. Di haisi malka avi min Yehud. My father had you brought here. You're just an immigrant. You're an illegal alien here in this country. You're nothing. This is a put down.
Galus is a put-down.
Put-down. Contrast this to the way the queen, Pasuk Tes, Edayin, Malka, Baal Shetzar, I don't know, so that Pasuk Tes, Yud, Pasuk Yud, Malkis so l'chavol mile Malka, v'rav riv onohi l'beis mishtaya alas, anas malchus av ameres, malkol omuchayi, al yivhaluch rayonach, v'zivoch, Al Yishtano, Isi Givar, there's a Givar. So right away she calls him a Givar. Givar is a distinguished title. He's a man. He's an important, distinguished person. A gentleman. B'malchusoch, Diruach Elokin Kadishin Bey, Uviyomiyavuch Nahiru, V'soch Lissonu, V'chochmok, Chochmas Elokin Hishtechach Bey, like the wisdom of God is in him. Umalgur v'chanetzar v'chrav, Chartumin, Oshpin, Kastoin, Gozrin, Hakimei Avuch Malko. She spoke about him with great respect. And he, in contrast, says, you're not a Givar, you're just part of the group of people who have been exiled from Di Yehud, from this nation of the Jews. Therefore, he right away saw that Baal Shetzar had no respect for him. Therefore, this is a very big Musar Haskil. Kavod, honor, is not like money. Money, if you do a job, and the job is not a very honorable job, as long as you get your paycheck, you can't complain. That's what you're hired to do. You bring home the dough, you bring home the money, you can pay the bills, you can pay the rent. You pay the bills, you can't go demand kavod. But when it comes to honor, there's no such thing as honor that comes from a person that doesn't want to give you honor. If the person that is giving you honor hates you, despises you, and is only giving you this honor because he's forced into doing so due to the circumstances, there's a reward. Anyone that's going to do the following thing will receive great honor. And honor means, honor by definition means something that's given with sincerity. Then, if you're talking down to me, I'm just a diyuhud who came from exile, your honor is worth nothing. I'm going to wear purple clothing and wear a gold medal and walk in the street. It's meaningless. You don't mean it. It's not sincere. Honor that's not sincere is despicable. It's disgusting. And that is what Daniel was telling the king. Keep your honor for yourself. It's meaningless. Such a mahalech, such an approach. And it's a very big Musar Haskel in life. People are roidef achar kovet. If the kovet is insincere, it's not just... It's not just that it's not a covet, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. And that's, Daniel was from the wisest of all men, and he right away, he knew this, and he acted upon it. I don't want your honor because I know that you don't want to give. You can't be matzliach, you can't be honored in a place where they don't want to honor you. Can't, just doesn't go like that. No, even though they'll give you the title and they'll give you the robes and they'll do everything proper, if in their mind they hate you, doesn't work. It just doesn't go. And that's how Daniel rejected the covet from Baal, a very powerful Musar Haskel in life.
But the king is still drunk.
Today's Pasuk Chavtes, you'll see they describe Daniel that same way, brought up from Judea.
Right, so they also did not respect him. Exactly. Nebuchadnezzar also had no respect for him. Nebuchadnezzar had no respect for Daniel. He was for they were going to be used as servants for the king. He had a special chokhmah, so he was needed in the palace to do things that could not be done by other people. But it doesn't mean that they had respect for him. Here, the queen mother did have respect. She spoke about him with very beautiful terms. However, Daniel but Belshazzar was not in the same frame of mind as his mother. Belshazzar said to Daniel, "I don't have any respect for you, but my mother tells me you can provide me with a solution to my problem. So go right ahead, and there's an outstanding reward. I offer this to my servants. I'm forced. I'm shamed into giving you the same reward. There has to be equality in this country. Everyone has a right to receive the same reward. We're a civilized society, Bavel, and I offer this to my people. So you'll get the same reward." But I hate you. I have no respect for you. You're a dirty Jew. So Daniel says, if that's the case, I'm a dirty Jew, and you have no respect for me, I don't want your kavod. It's meaningless to me. Kavod can only come from a person that truly wants to be mechabed you. You have a problem? I'll provide you with a solution, because that's my duty. That's what I'm here for. But don't give me kavod. You want to give me money? I'll take the money. But don't give me... Because money operates on a different level. As long as it's honest, hard-earned money, it's good. Don't expect kavod to come with the money. Yeah.
Practically speaking, though, second answer you gave, there would have been no difference in the outcome of the interpretation.
Of course not.
So it's just a matter of, you would have what, let him down gently?
What do you mean?
The solution, but the first one we understand.
The first one, it's worthless. Your covet is worthless.
I understand.
Huh? The first solution is that the reward is meaningless. The second is that even if it does have meaning, it's still, I don't want to take it from you because it doesn't have any meaning to you. And by the way, just that you shouldn't tell me later on that I know what I'm talking about, is at the very end of this parak, he did get the covet. He did get it. So that has to be understood what that means. After everything was ever, even though Daniel said to him, I don't want your covet, it's meaningless to me, and your malach is going to come to the end, the very end of the parak says that after he provided him with the interpretation, Belshazzar gave Daniel the gold medal and gave him the purple garments and gave him the Malda Shlita. But what's going on? According to the first answer, the Malchus came to an end. According to the second answer, I don't want your covet, so why did he receive it? So we have to work that out. So the simple understanding is that when Modai, the Malchus of Modai took over, it was a seamless transition. They decapitated the head of Belshazzar. Modai was presented with his head, and he took over. He took over, so he maintained a certain structure of authority in the world. So the honor then was a real honor, because now the new leader was Daryavish HaModai. Daryavish HaModai, according to the Medrash, had great respect and honor for Daniel. He did have great respect. And number two, there was covet, because the Malchus, it wasn't just that, there was a bloodbath. And now it took 50 years until they built up a new kingdom. No, they just came into the palace. There's a new boss, there's a new administration, there's a new person in charge. And they took down the flag and they put up a new flag. It was a new kingdom. But there was a structure in place, so the covet that was given to Daniel did have meaning. But that wasn't, Daniel did not know about this in advance when he told Belshazzar what's going to happen. As far as Daniel knew, there's going to be a bloodbath, and who knows, the world will turn into a barbaric society until at some point in time a new authority is established and law and order is in place.
that you can help us with the other election going on here in this country?
That's even beyond.
I guess the king, he's still drunk.
Yes. It's not clear how drunk he is.
But he just had a stress.
Okay.
Terrible stress.
Okay.
He spoiled his pants.
Okay.
That is it proper for Daniel to take revenge from such from a man from such a state in such a state?
Well, what do we take revenge? He's not taking revenge. He's telling you
to say, "Oh, you hate me."
He did a terrible sin. Belshazzar took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and in a great display of disrespect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was making a party to celebrate the destruction of the Jewish people.
That's the part of the
right. Now that really touches upon the third approach. But first, let me take your question.
Yeah, by Daniel, they use the word Chachma,
yeah,
twice by the Chartumim.
Yeah. They don't use the word Chachma. Because the Chartumim was magic. It wasn't Chachma. It was a hocus pocus and a Hanami. Now there's a third answer why Daniel rejected the Kava. Daniel was doing tshuva. What do we mean he was doing tshuva? If we go back to Nebuchadnezzar, Chazal criticized Daniel when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's second dream. What was the second dream? You're going to lose your mind, Nebuchadnezzar. There's this large tree, and all of a sudden a malach comes and says, go do Ilana, chop down the tree, and the roots will be tied with chains to the earth, and this is symbolic that you, Nebuchadnezzar, are going to behave like an animal. You're going to walk on all four, you're going to eat grass, you're going to get wet in the dew of heaven, and this is going to continue for 7 years, and no doctor will be able to restore your mental, your mind. So what did Daniel say to Nebuchadnezzar? There's a solution. Give tzedakah. You shall redeem your sins by giving tzedakah. And indeed, Nebuchadnezzar listened to the advice of Daniel. He gave tzedakah for 1 year. He supported the poor of Klal Yisrael for 1 year. And that prevented that punishment for coming upon him for a leap for 1 year. Chazal are very critical of Daniel. Why are you trying to give solutions to a Rasha, Merusha, Nebuchadnezzar, a person that compared himself to God, Adam Elyon, and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? So some of those commentators say that here Daniel is doing tshuva. He's not flattering in any way the king, and he's going even backwards. Not only am I not going to give you advice what to do to put off this decree of the Malchus coming to an end, I'm going to mevaze you. I'm going to speak to you with the greatest disrespect. You want to give me covet? Your covet is worth nothing. Keep it for yourself. Maybe the covet was worth something. Maybe Belshazzar did sincerely want to honor Daniel. But still, Belshazzar was a Rasha. And that's what we learned a few days ago. That's why the two are juxtaposed. Belshazzar is juxtaposed to Nebuchadnezzar. We skip Evel Meroidach, because Evel Meroidach was not so bad relative to Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. And he was a Rasha. And Ad Kedei Kach, he was making a party to celebrate the complete destruction of the Jewish people. 70 years have passed since Nebuchadnezzar came to power, and nothing has happened. There's not even a remnant, a hint, that there's any hope for the Jewish people. We're going to make a party. We're even going to take out the kelim, the Beis HaMikdash, and celebrate in this party full of pritzos of men and women together drinking and doing terrible things. So Daniel says, you're a Rasha, just like your grandfather or your father, and this time I'm not going to make the mistake in favoring you and flattering you and telling you what to do to hold off the punishment. I'm going to give it to you. You're going to die, the mouth is going to come to an end, and your covet is worth nothing. So bottom line, three approaches to explain why Daniel rejected the offer of honor, the gold chain, the purple clothing, the rulership of a third of the Malchus from Belshazzar. Reason number one, it's not worth anything. And he's already beginning to give the interpretation. The Malchus is coming to an end tonight. You're giving me junk bonds. It's worthless. Number two, he's telling Nebuchadnezzar, Your covet is meaningless. You do mevazimi. You call me a diyehut. You call me a Jew, a dirty Jew that comes from the exile. Covet only has value when the one that gives the covet is sincere. The one who gives you covet is insincere. Not only is the covet worthless, it's a disgrace. Musar Haskell. And the third reason is that Daniel is doing tshuva. Get lost, you good for nothing, you Rasha Merusha. I'm not going to flatter you like I made the mistake and flattered your father Nebuchadnezzar and told him what to do to redeem his sins. Okay, let's go further. So we have here, so we're up to Pasuk
Yud Zayin.
Okay, Gesundheit. Pasuk Yud Zayin. No, we did Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches. Ant Malka, you the king, so here Daniel is responding, you the king, Belshazzar, Eloka Ilo'a, the exalted God, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malchusa Urivusa Malchusa, your Malchus, Nebuchadnezzar, Urivusa, Urivusa means... Let's take a step back. I didn't say it correctly. One more time. Ant Malka, Eloka Ilo'a. You are Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ant here does not refer to Nevu. And Ant normally in these psukim ordinarily refers to the Baal Shetzar, refers to the king. But here Daniel is addressing Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ant, you are Kadosh Baruch Hu. Malka, Eloka Ilo'a. You are Kadosh Baruch Hu, the exalted king on high. You have granted Malchus to this individual, to this human being. Malchusa Urivusa Vikara Vehadra. Four expressions of power. Interesting. Four different expressions. You have granted Malchus Urivusa. Urivusa means Gedula. It's the targum for greatness. Vikara is honor. And the Hadra is splendor. Four different things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have granted this human being, Belshazzar. Well, now to take it back. You have given Nebuchadnezzar, Avuch, have granted to your father Nebuchadnezzar, or your grandfather, depending on two different interpretations of how we translate father, the father or grandfather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave your grandfather a gift, four gifts. But Umin Rivusa di Yahavle, and due to the incredible authority and power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him, Kol Am Maya Umaya Velishonaya. We had this before. These three expressions encompass the entire civilized world. The entire civilized world at this point in time can be broken into three groups. There's the Amaya, the Umaya, and Velishonaya. We learned this before. Amaya means a nation as a god. Every nation has a certain religion. Every nation with its religion. Umaya means a nation that does not have a religion. They're just whatever they are, atheists, or they don't think too much. Velishonaya, that refers to a group of people that have a unique language, but they're not organized. They're not even in the degree where they're acknowledged to be a country. Havo Zoin Vidochalin min kodomohi. These are two expressions. Zoin Vidochalin means they would sweat in terror. They were petrified of your father and grandfather. The three parts of the world. With Zoin means like to sweat. To sweat due to fear. Vidochalin also means to fear. Min kodomohi, before your father. Why were they so afraid of your father Nebuchadnezzar or your grandfather Nebuchadnezzar? Di havot sovei havik kotel, because whoever your father would want, he would kill. Sovei means wish. If he wished to have a human being executed for no reason whatsoever, that's the way it was. There was no holding back. Vidi havet sovei have mochei, and whoever he would want, he would live. The power of life and death. Even a person that was guilty of a crime, guilty. If the king wants, he would say, "I he's spared. I pardon him from his sin. Whoever he would want, he would elevate. If you would see a person in the street that had no parnasa, I want to give you great honor. You're going to be a minister in my cabinet. Whoever he want, he would lower. You have this expression, very similar expression by Tfilas Chana. Chana was mispalul. Chana said, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you have the power of life and death, the power to elevate mi yishafelu mi arum." We say this in the Nesana Tokef on the Yom Neiram. Hu Hashem yishafelu mi. Hu Hashem will lower, and mi arum. Hu Hashem will elevate. Now here, Daniel is saying that this is the power that Hakadosh Baruch Hu has given to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, by the way, this pasuk is discussed. We mentioned this already a few times. That what is a melech? We discussed the issue of what bracha Chazal coined a bracha that one makes in honor of a melech. Asher nosan mechvoidoi lebasar v'dam. Hashem has given from his honor lebasar v'dam. You make a special bracha when you sing a melech. What qualifies as the status of a melech? So this pasuk is quoted because here it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the power of malchus to your father. And what is malchus? The pasuk goes on to explain in one pasuk, this beautiful pasuk, pasuk Yud Tes. It says the nations sweat and are terrified before the melech because he has four powers: the power of death, the power of life to pardon a person who's guilty for a crime, the power to elevate, and the power to lower. These are the four main ingredients of malchus, which are required for a person to make a bracha. Shenosan lichvoidoy lebos. And that's why today it's so complicated. Do we make a bracha for the President of the United States? He does have the power to pardon, to be mechaye, to give life, but does he have power to bring death? Not directly, indirectly. He can send people in harm's way where they may indirectly come, and they can send out a team into a danger zone to perform a suicide mission, kimat. He has the power to do so. Executive order. What?
Well, he makes the decision.
But it's limited who you're dealing with. You just can't go send a drone into a civilized area for no reason. Sending it to enemies. Okay, but there is a degree of the power of death, absolutely. And of course, he does have the power of executive order to elevate people and to remove people. So there's no question that the President of the United States does have some token fulfillment of what it says here in this passage. However, others disagree. We discussed this. Others disagree that it's not a full-fledged fulfillment of these requirements, and therefore, again, the chiluk ideas, different opinions on you can make the bracha. But here is where the source of the what a malach is, how the powers of malach is where it is clearly defined. And then it goes on to say pasuk chaf ve'uchdi rim livei. Here he's describing the defect, the fault of your father. Your father was far from perfect. What was the sin of your father? Uchedi, chedi means when. Rim livave, when your father's heart was elevated. When he got v'rom levavecha, hisham elecha, pen tishkach Hashem elokecha. V'rom levavecha, your heart will be raised. V'ruche tikvas lehazodah, and his spirit was sinful. Lahazodah means amazed. A person who does something willfully. So tikvas lahazodah, he was very strong to act. Lahazodah literally means to do things with will. But here it means in this context not just to do things to be evil. He chose to be evil in a very mighty way. At that point, and how did he choose to be evil in a very mighty way? By destroying the Beis HaMikdash and by acting with great arrogance before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he said, Adam Elo Elyon, I will be similar, I am comparable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At that point in time, Honchas Min Karsay. At that time he was removed. Honchas means he was removed. Min Karsay. Karsay means a throne. It is the Targum for a Kisei, for the throne of Malchusei. Hashem removed him from his throne of Malchus, Vikara Hediv minei. Hediv means to remove. It's the targum of ha'avir. La'avir, to remove. And his honor was stripped from the king. And what happened to him? For the Pasuk of Av, Umin b'nei enoshot tirid, he was banished from mankind. No longer was he a member of society of human beings. He turned into an animal. V'livvei im chevso shaviv, Hashem set his heart equal to the heart of an animal. He thought he was an animal. He walked on all four. He went out to the forest. He did not wear clothing. And he acted like an animal act. V'im arodaya midore. Midore means to live. Dira, he lived with wild donkeys. Isba, grass. Kisairin yitamune, to taste. Yitamune means he would taste. He ate grass, just like Torah and oxen eat grass. Umital shemaya gishme yitztaba, and from the dew of heaven, tal shemaya, gishme means his body. His body, yitztaba, would get wet. His body was moistened through the dew of heaven. He did not take regular showers or baths. He lived out in the wild like an animal. Ad, how long did this continue? For 7 years, seven periods. Adi yidam, until he came to the realization, the shalit eloka ilo'o, that there rules in this world an exalted God, b'malchuso enosha, and Hashem's exaltedness extends within the kingdom of man. Hashem controls the malchus on this world, ulimandi yitzbei, and to the one to whom Hashem wants, yihokeim Allah, Hashem establishes the malchus. Hashem decides who is the leader of the world. Who is the leader of the free world is decided not by the Poles, but by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu influences events and people's minds to decide who shall be their leader. And the Nebuchadnezzar came to that realization after the 7 year period of acting like an animal. And now along comes the Nilin, says to Belshazzar, the ant Brei Belshazzar, you Belshazzar, his son, have not learned the lessons of your father. You should have studied what happened to your father Nebuchadnezzar and should learn to humble yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you have not done so. You, the son Belshazzar, lo hashpilt levvach, you have not humbled your heart, kol kovel, despite di kol deno yidata, even though everything I told you, you know. Everything I told you, you're very well of, and despite of the fact, kol kovel, despite of the fact that you know this, di kol deno, deno means this, all of this, yidata, you know, you don't care. You still acted in an arrogant way. The Almore Shemaya, and what did you do? Chachav Gimel. The Almore Shemaya, Hisro Mamta. You elevated yourself over HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you had the arrogance, the chutzpah, to remove the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and to use them in your party. Ulim Monaya di Vesa, and the utensils of Hashem's house. Haisiv Kodamach, you brought before you. The ant and you, the Rav Rivonach, and your nobleman, Sheg Losach, and your wife, Ulichay Nosach, and your Pilakshim, concubines, Chamra Shosayin, the hon, you drank wine in them, you used this kelim to drink, Vilelokay Kaspo Udahava, and to the gods of the silver and the gold, Nichosha, copper, Parzlo, iron, o wood, viavno, and stone, dilo chozayin, velo shomin, which do not see, velo shomin, do not hear, velo yodin, and do not know, have no intellect, shabachta, praised. You praised the gods of gold and stone and wood and so on and so forth, velelo kodi, and to the god, di nishmesach bidei, and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to whom your neshama is entrusted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls your neshama. V'chol or chosoch, lay all of your ways are lay are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that happens to you is guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo hadarta, you did not give glory, you did not acknowledge, you did not praise, and therefore Therefore, you are in a lot of trouble. So here, right away, you see over here, he's giving Baal Shem Tzar very powerful mussar. What a chutzpah. You had who to learn from. There's no excuse. You should learn from your father. Your father was extremely arrogant. He was punished. He turned into an animal. And then he came to the realization, he's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you, his son or grandson, have not learned lessons, and you have the arrogance to celebrate the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, and you took out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and you drank from them, and while you drink from the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, you were praising false gods. So therefore, you are what's going to happen at Beidayin, at that point in time when you did all this, Beidayin then min kadamohi before Hakadosh Baruch Hu shaliach pasod yoda Hashem sent forth an angel to appear in the image of the palm of a hand, uches savod dinar reshim, and he wrote on the wall the following message. Chasava means script. Dinah, this Rishim was etched into the wall. And what was the text? That we're going to have to leave for the next time, because that we have to have a lot of time deciphering. There's a lot of deep meaning in these couple of words.
Exactly.
Okay. That's good.